And a very good morning to you. How you doing? Just about made it again. Although, unlike last Sunday, I have been up since 6 a.m. editing feverishly. Beavering away feverishly I've been. How you doing? It's Sunday morning, the 9th of December 2018. Always good to be with you. My name is Richie Allen, by the way, and this is Sunday View. Of course, it's the programme where I take a look at the front pages of the UK's broadsheet and tabloid newspapers. I do like it when you get involved, you know that as well. So tweet the programme as you like. It's at Richie Allen Show on Twitter. That is the handle, at Richie Allen Show. I'm sure you'll have one or two things to tell me. It's been miserable all weekend. It's bucketed down Friday and Saturday and overnight here in the northwest. But the clouds are clearing a bit now, and it appears that the old weather is clearing up somewhat. Welcome to Sunday View, all right?
Asking the questions mainstream journalists will never ask. This is your Richie Allen Show on richieallen.co.uk, Fab Radio 2 in Manchester, and triggerwarning.tv.
Yeah. I was editing till about a minute to the top of the hour. Are you fishing for compliments? Are you, Richie? I bloody well am. Welcome to Sunday View, then. Lovely Sunday morning. Let's do it.
It's the Richie Allen Show, broadcasting live on richieallen.co.uk and multiple platforms around the world. And now, here's your host, Richie Allen.
Brilliant. Having a lovely weekend. Went to see Madness at Manchester Arena on Friday night with the future Mrs. Allen. What a show. We went to see them 2 years ago in the same arena, and it was great, great fun, marvellous atmosphere, wonderful night, and enjoyed that. Spent yesterday just chilling out, still off the drink, dear listener, still off the booze, and I'm enjoying that as well, I have to tell you. Right, there's a lot to get through, and I'm going to say a few things. It always sounds ominous, doesn't it? I'm going to say a few things. It's like your father or your grandfather. I'm going to say a few things, and you're going to listen. Of course, I'm not at all dictatorial, so you don't have to listen if you don't want. And if you don't like what I'm telling you, you can, of course, challenge it, and I will read out those comments. And I'm planning on doing a complete two-hour phone-in show before Christmas. In fact, I'm going to do it in the evening. So perk up now, perk up. I'm going to do a phone-in show probably a week on Tuesday or a week on Wednesday, but I'm going to do it in the evening, and I'm going to open the phone lines up, and I'm particularly going to give the platform to people who fundamentally disagree with me on subjects such as the one I'm going to kick off with. Because right now I would start reading the Sunday newspapers. I'm going to do that in about 10 minutes, but I've got a few things to say before that, and I don't think one or two of you anyway are not going to like what I'm going to say, but I'm going to say it anyway, because I feel that's what the show is supposed to do. It's to challenge you. So, before we look at the papers, the BBC is running with a story today about a massive march that is going to take place in London today. Excuse me, he says, coughing off camera. So the BBC story is Brexit, Tommy Robinson to lead UKIP march. Okay. Tommy Robinson to lead UKIP march with counter-protests also planned. You get that? You get that. I'll read what the BBC has written. English Defence League founder Tommy Robinson is to join a pro-Brexit march organised by UKIP. A counter-protest against far-right extremists is being organised to take place at the same time, with anti-fascist groups and Labour-backed campaigners taking part. Scotland Yard has imposed restrictions for the Central London marches, and Scotland Yard has urged people to protest peacefully. Now, Labour's John McDonnell, who is the Shadow Chancellor of the Exchequer, he said a network of hate was emerging. A network of hate. Don't you love these buzzwords? These catchphrases? They're supposed to burrow deep down into your subconscious. And they do, largely. A network of hate, says McDonnell. The Shadow Chancellor urged people to march against the poison. That's a quote, the poison of Robinson, whose real name is Stephen Yaxley Lennon, of course. Robinson was recently appointed as an advisor to UKIP leader Gerard Batten. That, of course, saw the resignation of Nigel Farage, amongst others. McDonald said this isn't about Brexit this March. It's about far-right extremists dressing up in suits and pretending to be respectable. Unite Against Fascism and Momentum, the grassroots group. It isn't really, but it pretends to be. Momentum and Unite Against Fascism are marching against Mr. Robinson. It's almost... No, I'll leave it for a minute. UKIP said their march against the Brexit betrayal would be the largest pro-Brexit event of the year. Batten, Gerard Batten, told supporters on Twitter, be there to show that you want to dump the deal and that Brexit does indeed mean exit. That's what Gerard Batten had to say. Yeah. Right, what's going on? What is going on, dear listener? Do you know what's going on? You do, you don't. You might know more than I do. And that isn't a patronising thing to say. You might very well know more than I do. But I'm going to tell you what I think. I think it's very simple. Tommy Robinson, Stephen Yaxley Lennon, came from nowhere. Nowhere. He didn't know Richie. He's been around a few years. Yes, 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 hang on. 18 months ago, Robinson was a far-right mouthpiece, right? He was an ex-con, a thug, who was trying to reinvent himself as a journalist and political commentator. Every time I read Tommy Robinson, a quote from Tommy Robinson, or on his YouTube channel where he calls himself a journalist, I fart loudly. I fart loudly, or I go to the toilet for number two. Tommy Robinson calling himself a journalist is an affront to common sense and an affront to logic. He's not a journalist. Now, he's always had a bit of a following. I won't deny that. And even when he had a bit of a following, he would get on telly every now and then. I remember Jeremy Paxman interviewing him once on Newsnight. But his reinvention pretty much stuttered and spluttered. It was going nowhere. Right? Like I said, always had a bit of a following, and his name, probably 3 out of 10 people would go, oh yeah, I heard of him. Not saying he was a nobody, but back then, his reinvention stuttered and spluttered, because Tommy is a bit thick. Like pond scum is thick. Pond scum is, if you've ever splashed around in a pond, you'll know that pond scum is thick, just like Tommy. So the media largely ignored Tommy back then, 18 months ago, largely ignored him. He got the odd interview here and there. And he was doing his best, Tommy, to be relevant. He's like that band that you liked in the 1970s or 1980s, but their albums are shit today. The real far right, the proper racists, had totally disavowed themselves of Tommy. What's he doing? What's Tommy doing there? What's he doing now? He's rejecting all the things he used to say. Tommy was trying to reinvent himself. And one of the things Tommy the Tit Robinson did was he courted Israel, declared himself to be a Zionist, thinking even thickos like Tommy do have the occasional good idea, thinking, well, the Israelis hate Muslims just as much as I do. The Israelis hate Muslims just as much as I do. Not actually strictly true, by the way. Not all Israelis. But not bad thinking on Tommy's part. The enemy of mine enemy is my friend. Now, the far right in general has done that. You've probably noticed that, haven't you, dear listener? The far right, yobs, scumbags that traditionally hated Jews and blamed Jews for everything, found that they hated Muslims more than they hated Jews. So they saw an opportunity. There's a global collective amnesia about this, isn't there? Haven't we forgotten that? That some of the absolute morons, the goons that follow old Tommy around, they used to hate the Jews. They used to say, we hate the Jews. It's the Jews' fault for everything, right? Right. But initially, the Jews, or Zionist Jews, weren't interested in Tommy and his courtship, or his ridiculous pictures standing on tanks with the Israeli flag draped over his shoulder. So Robinson was a curiosity back then, but a non-entity, despite having a small band of loyal supporters, a non-entity. But then, and I've talked about this, but not in this detail as I'm doing now, far more disgusting people than Tommy, and far cleverer people than Tommy, because he's quite sick, you know, Tommy. I wasn't joking when I said last week, Tommy has to take his dick out of his trousers to count to 11. He is that thick, really. But some powerful, disgusting, malevolent cliques saw an opportunity in Tommy. Oh, they saw an opportunity. And these cliques are not exclusively right-wing or not exclusively left-wing. They're not exclusively centrist. Some cliques saw an opportunity to exploit good old Tommy. And among those cliques were the far right, but also the progressive left media. You thought I was going to say something else there, didn't you? The progressive left media and the far right have one thing in common. They are promoting the bejesus out of Stephen Yaxley Lennon. The far right decided to make him a poster boy, a martyr, a single focus point to unite those on the hard right in the UK. Let's unite around this fucking moron. That's what we'll do. And the far right, and by the way, the very influential think tanks, we're talking about Steve Bannon's of the world, the Cambridge Analytica's, these people have promoted Robinson as the single figure for far right thinkers to unite behind. So what about the progressive left media? Well, the progressive left media saw a glorious opportunity to use Tommy as the ugly face of Brexit. In other words, to associate Brexit and the referendum result with Robinson. This is very clever. To paint a picture that associates Leave or Vote Leave with a racist thug as we approach the prospect of a second referendum. This is very smart. So Tommy the Tit, who hasn't got two brain cells to rub together, is going to be addressing hundreds of thousands of people, potentially, in London today. This gormless fuckwit. It's beautiful in its malevolence. It's wonderful, right? Wonderful. So that's what's happened. Even before he was sent to prison for contempt of court, going back to this creation of Tommy by the media, even before he went to prison for contempt of court, which I didn't support, by the way, idiot and all as he is, Robinson's profile began to grow. At the same time, he was on Channel 4, Sky News, RT, everywhere. Tommy! And his YouTube channel, which in February of 2018, so 11 months ago, had around 60,000 subscribers. Mine had 80,000 subscribers, by the way. And mine was younger than Tommy's. Tommy's went to 300,000 in a heartbeat. And mine and others were deleted. It's not about me. It doesn't matter. I do not matter here. Just making a point, right? So Tommy's videos are promoted by YouTube. I know this for a fact. He's a rock star and has been assigned a level of importance now. Amazing, eh? Nothing to see here. Nothing to see here. Please disperse. This is all normal. The prison sentence got global coverage. Tommy's a household name. A household name. Now he's leading marches in London with UKIP. Why? Because Tommy is rightly repugnant to most decent people. He is a violent thug, a woman beater, a convicted fraud, a filthy little animal. It's a perception deception. Associate Tommy with Leave now, as we are very close to a possible second referendum, to it's almost like mind control, to align people together thinking that Leave means racist. Leave means that scumbag over there. Right? That's it. Couldn't be any clearer. So what you have today, you have a massive march today. You have two groups of morons, effectively. two groups of galactically stupid people serving the same system, but they can't even imagine it. They won't even contemplate it. These groups that will face off today, swearing at one another, roaring at one another, spitting at one another, being kept apart by the police, threatening one another, the hatred, the atmosphere there today. And by the way, snowflakes, I don't support any of them. The hate is just as bad on the progressive left as it is on the far right. The identity politics is, it's not winning. It has won. They will stand there today roaring abuse and boil and vile and vomit at one another. And the tiny cabal that's really running things is laughing its fucking arse off. Wonderful. Wonderful. Serving the same system. And you. And when I say you, I mean the Tommy Robinson supporter. Do you know what you are? Do you know what you are? You are intellectually lazy. You are pathetic. You are fucking cheap because you gave your soul away for nothing. You have no heart. You have no self-respect. You are nothing but a narcissist. Nothing. When you hear someone like me dismantle the mythology that has been allowed to grow up around Tommy Robinson, you lose your shit. You take it personally. Acute narcissism. You see this in a much lesser way when the lies of the independent media are exposed. People lose their shit, start sending emails, ranting and screaming and swearing. Why? Why? You don't know these people. You're not related to them. Why take it personally? If I or anybody else criticises a total stranger to you, do you know why? Do you know why? Because you are intellectually lazy and a raging narcissist. You have lost the ability to think critically. You've long forgotten how to properly engage with those who disagree with you. Yes, you have. Stop ranting. Stop swearing. Don't switch off just yet because you don't like what you're hearing. Stop. You have lost the ability to speak rationally and calmly with people whom you disagree with. You can't do that. Why? Because you're glued to that stupid fucking thing that's in your left hand morning, noon and night. If you're not glued to that, you're glued to a tablet. If you're not on a tablet, you're on a laptop, surrounding yourself with only those who disagree with you. That's why. And why do you do that? You're not going to like this. Do you know why you do that? You do that because you are terrified. You are scared witless because you know the truth. You know that it's all a sham. You know it's all a sham. Right versus left. Trump versus Hillary. Corbyn versus May. Milo Yiannopoulos. Tommy Robinson. Ann Coulter. Alex Jones. The Guardian. Momentum. Owen Jones. The Daily Mail. A fucking sham. It's an illusion. The House always wins and you can't handle the truth. You can't handle it. So what do? You cloak yourself in a comfort blanket. That comfort blanket is Tommy Robinson or some other hero of the truth or industrial complex. You bury your head in the sand and then you scream bloody murder when Robinson or whatever hero you've sold your soul to is challenged because they are a blanket. Don't take my blanket away. Don't. Because you're terrified. Why? Why? Because the alternative is having to accept just how bad things are. And then having to do something about it. And you don't want to do anything about it. You'd rather go to a truther industrial complex conference and pay a couple of £100 for some fucking fool to tell you what you already know. Deep down, you don't believe you can do anything about it, when in fact you can. You actually can do something about it. You pretend you're awake. You're a big hard man or a big hard woman on Facebook or Twitter talking about the New World Order and the hidden hand in the banks. Or you're a tough guy until it comes to the crunch when it gets a bit hairy. Then it's back to the comfort zone. Tommy Robinson standing up to it? No, he's not. He's perpetuating it for Queen and country. And for UKIP now, politics has never been more popular. Never have more people been invested in politics and in political parties than now. Never have more people succumbed to identity politics than now. Keeping you locked into the mindset of change is possible. It's possible. It can happen. This guy is the real deal. No, he's not. This guy is one of us. No, he's not. Tommy Robinson is the system incarnate. You know this, but you can't deal with it. 99.99% of the so-called alternative media is the system incarnate. tells you what you want to hear, but keeps you plugged into the matrix and invested in the system. For those of you who this rings true for, you lazy bastard. You lazy bastard. But you know what? I love you anyway. I'll keep fighting to get your attention. I want to talk to you. I don't want to insult you. I don't want to diminish you, to demonise you, to put you in the fucking ground. I want to talk to you. It's what I want to do. Get away from this madness. Following these people and believing that they're going to lead you to the promised land. Tommy Robinson, funded to the tune of thousands of pounds of weeks by Zionist think tanks. But that doesn't matter to you. If you're invested so deeply in it, that comfort blanket, don't take it away from me, because then I might have to confront what's really going on. Right? Right. This is the Richie Allen Show, Sunday View for Sunday, December 9th, 2018. When we come back, we'll look at the front pages of the newspapers. Don't leave. I think they've ripped off about 17 songs there. But I always like that. Go Let It Out by Oasis, the Dickhead Brothers, as they're known affectionately in these parts. Maybe Noel is not so much as a dickhead as Liam. But I like both of them. I have a lot of time for Oasis. And Go Let It Out on Sunday View, 25 minutes past 11. Thanks for the tweets. Like I said, I will make time on this programme for those of you who fundamentally disagree with the opening salvo there today before Christmas in an open phone-in that will last a couple of hours, and you can fire whatever shots you want straight at me, let alone across the bow. I'm happy to take it. I always have been. Practice what you preach. Good morning to Natasha, to Penelope, to Bass Ninja, to Susan. A lot of talk about vaccines on Twitter today. To Patrick Vadeen, to Sean McDonald, to Bass Ninja, who's had to peel himself off the ceiling after that rant. To David, who says he thought a fist was going to come out of the phone then, like Dick Dastardly from Wacky Races. Hi to Samantha Jordan. How you doing, Samantha? To Aiken Drum. And to everybody else tuning in, let's do what we're supposed to do and have a look at the front pages of the Sunday newspapers. I meant every word of that, by the way. Every word of it. You know, if you've been with me for a number of years, what I think about this system. And not only that, but where the system came from. Who gave us this system? This system of parliamentary democracy was dreamt up by the financial ruling elites of the world and their betrothed royal families. The families they married into came up with this idea a couple of hundred years ago, maybe, well, more than a couple of hundred years ago. What are we going to do? Let's give them the illusion of democracy. That's where the system we have now came from. That is why I get so passionate about it, because the people I was criticising there, I love them and I'll fight for them. I'm not important. I mean, in the grand scheme of things, it's just one show, one independent show. I'm not an important person, but I'll fight for their right to be heard, even though I disagree with them. But what cripples me is I know they know better. The Tommy supporters, the supporters of other goons like Tommy around the world, they know better. It's intellectually lazy. They know better, right? You said you'd leave it, Richie, so just leave it. The Sunday Times front page goes like this. May to handbag Brussels in frantic bid to save the deal. I'm doing my best for you, trying to minimise the Brexit stuff. Theresa May will seek to emulate Margaret Thatcher by travelling to Brussels to demand a better Brexit deal in a last-ditch attempt to save her government from collapse. Now, what's interesting about this is, where did the Sunday Times get its information from? Because number 10 and some of Theresa May's closest allies in the Conservative Party have completely said this is bollocks, that she will not go to Brussels to demand a better Brexit deal. What the Sunday Times is saying is that Tuesday's vote on the existing deal will actually be cancelled to give Theresa May a chance to go and get something better. Because Tuesday's vote, which apparently is going ahead, at least according to the Brexit secretary, we'll hear from him in a minute. It is going ahead, apparently. What the Sunday Times is saying is it probably won't go ahead to give May a chance to go to Brussels to say, listen, I can't win this vote, you've got to do better. Well, apparently that's utter bollocks. And we'll hear from Stephen Barclay in a minute. What about Tom Swarbrick? Tom Swarbrick is a former close aide of Theresa May's. He's a Conservative and he now presents radio for LBC. There's a lot wrong with that, but I've talked about that very many times on the programme, how politicians are now being given radio shows to present. Wonderful, isn't it? Again, the fact that people don't question that. Anyway, Conservative politician Tom Swarbrick, LBC presenter now. What about this Sunday Times story? What does he say?
So everyone wants to know what the options are, and the options are diminishing. And the option that the Sunday Times reports on is this idea of returning to Brussels, delaying the vote, trying to get some concessions. They say that they expect her to announce this tomorrow as she goes back to Brussels on Thursday. There's some debate about whether that's actually going to happen at all.
Dan used to be just saying that's not true, that she's going to go, she's heading straight on for the brick wall, as it were.
It seems unlikely that the EU is going to concede something now. And if they were to concede something now, I suspect a lot of people will say, well, let's go and back and try for more again whilst delaying the vote. And a lot of people say, well, now is the time to for this to come to a head. Then it's presented, the Sunday Times piece, as to what happens after that vote takes place. And again, no one really knows. But they suggest that David Gawke and David Lidington, the putative sort of deputy prime minister, have been sounding out MPs about what there's a majority for, and they've come to the conclusion that the majority of MPs are now likely to back a people's vote, a second referendum.
That's a very significant moment, actually, in this whole story, isn't it?
I think so, because it now is shown, I think, that if Brexit is to be stopped by this agreement not being voted through, then Parliament wants another go at this. And I have to say, it feels as if Brexiteers are now in danger of stopping Brexit from happening by not putting this deal through, by not allowing Brexit to go ahead on the 29th of March.
Interesting concept. Do you remember Gina Miller, the businesswoman who came out of nowhere, speaking of people who came from nowhere? Miller took the government to court, saying the government had to get parliamentary approval before triggering Article 50. Do you remember? She won. The government got the approval anyway from Parliament. Gina Miller says, rather gleefully, that a second referendum is inevitable now.
What I find really extraordinary is, whilst I have been a supporter of a public vote at the end of this process, having fought for Parliament, actually, I think it should have been it's the last resort. We shouldn't have actually got to this position. But the reality is we are. We have very little time for all the other options that are being offered. There is no arithmetic in Parliament, it appears, for any outcome. And what's very interesting in The Observer is not just the front page, but if you then go to page 9 in the story, when they talk about the fact that Frans Timmermans, the Vice President of the European Commission, was actually at a conference in Portugal yesterday that was attended by Corbyn. And he said, Corbyn, come on, you now have to back a second referendum. And I think for me...
Does it record what Corbyn said back?
No, he didn't, which is interesting. But I have to say...
We know what Corbyn said. Corbyn said, I'll do whatever I'm told. That's what Corbyn said. What a disgrace Corbyn is. Eh? 30, 40 years campaigning against the European Union. I've got a sniff of power now. I think we should maintain close ties and we should have a single market arrangement with the European Union, is what Corbyn is saying these days. If there was a second referendum, what would happen? What would happen? Well, Gazela Stewart is a Labour politician. She was on the Andrew Marr show this morning as well. She's a staunch Leaver and she points to a poll of 10,000 people. Now, it must be pointed out, she has had a part in commissioning this poll, okay? But it's in the Telegraph today, the Sunday Telegraph, that a poll of 10,000 people, the largest of its type, shows, in fact, that people do want to leave, and proper. Despite all of this messing around, 10,000 people were surveyed, and they don't want Theresa May's deal, but they don't want to stay in the European Union either. Here's Gazela Stewart.
Majority of voters reject PM's plan. It's a mass study of views of 10,000 voters by BMG Research, and I think in the interest of transparency, it was commissioned by Change Britain, which I chair.
So it's your poll?
No, it's not. When you look at a poll, you have to look at the base. If it is over 10,000, then it is by far more significant than small polls, which are commissioned to deliver a sample. It is a big poll.
And it tells us what?
And what it essentially tells us is that 63% of voters across the country don't want their MP to vote for the deal. And that includes...
For what reason?
And well, because they feel it doesn't actually deliver.
But did you ask that question?
Taking back control. We gave them various options. Gave them seven options as to what they wanted. Theresa May's deal, you look at the Norway option, you look at all the others. The only deal which was less popular than May's deal was to remain in the European Union. So
you found 10,000 people go through seven options and keep it in your head. I'm very impressed. Well, I'm very impressed.
Don't sneer at that.
No, I'm not.
Good for you, Gazela. Don't sneer at that, you BBC puppet. It's a massive poll and it shows that people would still go. They're sick of it, maybe even more so now that they've seen how the European Union behaves towards those who want to leave, right?
No, I'm not. I mean, people out there are interested.
It is a big, and we have consistently done polling over 2 years, and anybody who does polling shows you that trends are important. There has been no shifting on the trend.
So you think, you think a second referendum, if it happened, would have the same result as the first one, basically?
Well, as part of the same polling, that was what showed that only that 39% of the actually don't want the MPs to support that.
Very good. But here's a question for you. I don't want to conduct a poll, but here's a question. Do you think if there was a second referendum, do you think it wouldn't be rigged? You see, I was convinced the first referendum would be rigged. If you remember, back in June of 2016, I predicted that Remain would win. I was convinced of it. Very depressing. At the time, I thought, well, they won't allow the country to vote leave. And rigging didn't take place. I think they were so certain that Remain would win the day that rigging didn't take place on any big scale anyway. So, although you might argue rigging did take place, you could say that 52-48 was very close. Maybe closer than it should have been. Maybe more than 52% of people voted to leave. Maybe. I don't know. But that's all conjecture anyway. I have no idea. I think if there is another referendum, and there very well may be another referendum, because we're not leaving the European Union. We're not. So that's going to happen in one of two or three ways. One of the ways is through another referendum. Another way is some ridiculous deal that keeps us in, which is the deal that Theresa May wants everybody to vote for on Tuesday. So, yeah. So if there is a second referendum, do you think it'll be rigged? Probably will be. Not so much more Brexit now. Be patient. And I've done well today. I've split it up a bit. The Sunday Observer, Cabinet splits over second on Brexit deal. The Sunday Telegraph, front page, May losing grip as party is rocked by resignations. More ministers, not Cabinet secretaries, but more ministers are quitting ahead of this vote on Tuesday, which is obviously a major kick in the teeth to Theresa May. Writing in the Telegraph, Will Quince MP, who's a member of the Defence Secretary's, the Defence Secretary is Gavin Williamson. His ministerial team, Will Quince works for Williamson effectively, and he said he's quitting his government role, saying he wants to implore Theresa May to go back to Brussels to find another way. As I said earlier on, number 10, May's people have said, and her closest allies, Philip Hammond, and the squirrely little chipmunk that is Michael Gove, they've all said the vote on Tuesday is definitely going ahead. That's what they've said. Of course, politicians have been known to lie, so maybe something will happen tomorrow and the vote on Tuesday will be suspended. Maybe, I don't know. I'm not predicting that. The Mail on Sunday says, Theresa May says, back me or get Corbyn and no Brexit. So May is apparently hinting in an article that she, well, she didn't write for the Mail on Sunday. She was interviewed for the Mail on Sunday. And she says, if you don't vote for me on Tuesday, you're going to get Jeremy Corbyn and no Brexit. Well, does that mean that Theresa May is screwed if she loses the vote on Tuesday? Is she? Well, here's the current Brexit Secretary, Stephen Barclay, the third Brexit Secretary. He was asked that question, is Theresa May finished if she loses on Tuesday? This is Stephen Barclay with Andrew Marr.
If, despite your best arguments and your best endeavours, she loses this vote on Tuesday and loses it big, then Theresa May cannot stay on as Prime Minister, can she?
Well, we move into uncharted waters. Yes, the Prime Minister is fighting for us and will continue in post. But
can she stay on as Prime Minister?
Yes, if absolutely.
She can stay on as Prime Minister. Absolutely. If she loses the vote, big.
Yes,
so
absolutely.
What's the purpose of the government in that situation?
To continue.
You've lost your main policy. You've no clear way forward. Surely that's the moment to step aside and let somebody else who thinks that they can negotiate a better deal try.
What you're pointing to, Andrew, is the point I was making earlier, that we would move into uncharted waters, into uncertainty. Now, there's a process that would then follow in terms of the government would need to come back within 21 days, calendar days, with a statement. There'd be then a further 7 days, sitting days, in terms of bringing forward a motion. So there's a process that would follow.
Just by the way, takes the Commons voting and sitting right up to and including on Christmas Day, if that happened. That's true, isn't it?
I saw those stories. But the point that you're alluding to is that if the deal doesn't go through, we will enter uncharted waters and a period of uncertainty. And the very clear message that I got, colleagues have got from businesses and others, is they want a deal which will allow the investment, protect jobs, allow us to respect the referendum result.
So she's not toast to Stephen Barclay, but she is. Now, for the last time this morning, a little bit more Brexit, but very briefly, Boris Johnson, the former foreign secretary, and allegedly the biggest thorn in Theresa May's side. Johnson was on Andrew Marr as well, and we can hear just a little bit of that, just a wee bit. Boris Johnson with Andrew Marr today.
You are the man who got us into this mess, aren't you?
Well, I certainly think that what we need now is a way out of what is unquestionably a difficult political position for the government and for the country. And I think one of the myths is that there is no alternative to the backstop. And I think Rebecca Long-Bailey was quite right just now to lay into the backstop. And I heard what you said to
Steve Barclay.
But it is not right for our country. It's a kind of lobster pot, a legal lobster pot in which we get trapped. The EU runs our trade policy. They set laws for us. A huge chunk of our law comes from Brussels. And we need to get out of it. It's colony status.
But let's just look at where we are now, if we could, which is in a pretty despairing place in politics, Parliament all over the place, lots of economic predictions ahead which look pretty grim. Now, during that sunlit 2016 referendum, you said it was going to be fantastic. You said we were going to be in a really good place economically with a fantastic future. It does not feel like that now.
Well,
prosper,
I do
flourish,
think,
and thrive was the
word. I do think that we can have a fantastic future if we do Brexit right. I passionately and sincerely believe that. But it requires us genuinely to be able to take back control of our trade policy and genuinely be able to champion our innovators in the way we handle our legislation, and if necessary, to do things differently from our friends and partners in the European Union. That is what Brexit offered. And that is exactly what at the moment is being frustrated by this backstop arrangement. And that is why it's so important to get rid of it.
Now, absolute final bit of audio on Brexit today. Johnson says next that this idea that the European Union won't negotiate any further is a nonsense. And Johnson says if May's deal is voted down, which it will be, presumably on Tuesday, if it goes ahead, that of course they'll negotiate. And Johnson points to the fact that some big European Union heavyweights have admitted as such that the European Union would have no choice but to negotiate because the European Union is more terrified of a no-deal situation than the UK is. Shall we say again for the 5 millionth time, the European Union sells far more to the United Kingdom than the United Kingdom sells to Europe. So Johnson points out there would be plenty of negotiation in the event the deal is voted down on Tuesday.
If look at what Romano Prodi, the former EU Commission president, had to say yesterday. He said that if the House of Commons votes down this deal, which I earnestly hope that we do, then the EU will of course negotiate. And to be frank, it's not their number one issue at the moment.
I think
he's a very important voice, Romano Prodi, and a very influential figure. And I think that they will look at the ups and downs. They will say, what is the risk here? The risk is of no deal. Nobody on either side of the channel wants no deal. They will say, is it possible for us to Is it possible for us to reword this Northern Ireland Protocol, the 174 pages, so as to give the UK a unilateral exit mechanism? Yes, it is. And indeed, the UK drafted such proposals, but then failed to table them. That is the way to go.
Well, there you are. So that's the end of Brexit. Are you delighted about that? You were fed up, weren't you? You were sick of it. Johnson says, of course they'd have to negotiate. They don't want no deal. Which is why, of course, there should have been no Article 50. We shouldn't have had 2 years of nonsense. If we weren't living in an illusory democracy, a sham democracy, a fascist state, which the UK is, if we weren't living in that situation, we would have just left straight away. Fuck Article 50. We're leaving with no deal. And you won't put tariffs on our stuff. No, you won't. You won't, because we'll destroy you. We'll stop. Like, stop, Merkel, stop. You won't put any tariffs because we will bring Audi, Volkswagen, BMW and Mercedes to their fucking knees, love. Do you understand? You do, you get it. No problems, no tariffs then. We'll just carry on as normal. The only difference being we're now an independent sovereign state and we'll make our own laws. Thank you very much. And when we need immigration, and there will be times when we do need it, we'll be quite happy to open the process up for people to apply for a visa. We'll sort all that out, no problems whatsoever. In the meantime, everybody who is already here from the European Union, of course they can stay. We're not bastards. We're not xenophobes. Of course they can stay. No problems. It just changes from today. End of story. That's how it should have went. Of course. That's how it should have went. But of course it was never going to go like that. Because you can't check out of this club. You just can't. Others have tried and have been buried up to their necks in it, as Ireland, France and Denmark will testify to. Natasha in Liverpool. It's a real danger. Liverpool might win the Premier League this year. This is not sitting well with me. Let's move on. Natasha says, Richie, about today's march, I honestly think something quite serious will occur at the march. Something obviously pre-planned by the puppeteers. There's a possibility. There is a possibility, Natasha. You might be right. Do you know something, though? With the raw emotion on both sides and with the capacity of people these days to be so easily triggered, and these days people hate so much, they hate people with different opinions to them, it might not even need the intervention of any deep state antagonists. They might very well start kicking bells out of one another themselves. Andy tweets, if I was sceptical, I'd say that if voting made any difference, we wouldn't be allowed to do it. Absolutely. How many times, Andy? You're absolutely right. Mayor Amschel Rothschild, paraphrase, I don't care which puppet you put on the throne. As long as I'm controlling the money, I couldn't give a shite. This is why people went, they wet their underpants 2.5, 3 years ago when I started laughing at the notion that Jeremy Corbyn would deliver the country to a utopian socialist paradise. I laughed out loud and I lost a few listeners over it. People who thought, because they were listening to Richie's opinions, my opinions, don't ever refer to yourself in a third person, listening to my opinions, and they were saying, oh, he's one of us, Richie. This is identity politics, you see. And then I just remained consistent. Jeremy takes the leadership of the Labour Party and I said, well, that's not going to make any difference. How can you say that? You're a shill. You're a shill. No, I'm not. Being consistent. Of course not. Jeremy is going to borrow and borrow and borrow from central banks. And he's going to break you so that the next recession is even worse than the one that went before it. This is what happens. You said you'd shut up now with the ranting today. All right, I'm going to shut up then, yeah. All right. Oh, Jesus. David tweets about the protests in France. I wonder if the protests in France are orchestrated to sweep in the first European country under full martial law. Too many full-faced balaclavas, police and protesters, stinks of mercenaries. One point clear, Richie. Yeah, and I've said this before, David. A lot of these movements, the Gilets Jaunes, are undoubtedly at the beginning they're genuine. And one of our listeners posted the Gilets Jaunes manifesto today on Twitter. And when you read it, it reads brilliantly. There isn't anything I would disagree with. Absolutely. A proper living wage. Proper control of migration. Limit the power of the banks to create money. Yes, it all reads brilliantly. But of course these organisations are infiltrated. Of course they are. And some of them are not even infiltrated. Some of them are gifted to the populace by those who control things. Cypher 9 systems. France, like most European countries, Richie, has the technology to suppress internet chatter and disperse crowds with non-lethal force. Why didn't they? Everything in this age is by design, so what's the plan? Brilliant point. Brilliant point. Hi to Mr. Shin. Richie, watch as they turn up in yellow vests in London today. Excellent point. They might well do. Could be one of these manufactured, manipulated new movements. It's the latest thing. What's the latest thing? Wear a yellow jersey and run around screaming in city centres until you're joined by lunatics in balaclavas who start smashing cars. I like the way some of my listeners are thinking. Like I said before, there are many people who listen to this programme. They are further down the rabbit hole than I am. Good morning to Sean McDonald, who says, Richie, about the referendum in 2016, government cutbacks meant they didn't employ enough people to rig the ballot. Sack the fecking lot of them, says Sean. Yeah, and hi to Susan Ruby Dragon. How you doing, Susan? Good morning. Good morning to you. And there was somebody listening in Philadelphia, I think. Pennsylvania. Who is it? It's Sidonia 7, Sana, who's listening in Pennsylvania. It's Sue, who's listening in Pennsylvania. How you doing, Sue? And to Bo Jaws, Daniel, who's listening in as well this morning. Nice to see some new people on the Twitter feed. Jason tweets, Richie, interesting that Ian Duncan Smith was hinting at possible yellow vest-like violence over Brexit on the BBC just before you came on. Pienaar latched straight onto the comment and kept pushing the idea of violent Brexiteers. Very good. Yeah, look, you can't take anything at face value. You've got to take it all with a pinch of salt. Dear listener, going to leave you with something that I have to say I found a little bit disturbing. Not going to leave you with bad news, but something a little bit disturbing that I came across. Again, very good reporting by RT. Oh, you've been criticising RT. Of course I have. Criticised them all. But I like RT. I like some of the presenters. I like Polly Boyko, for example, and one or two other reporters there. I like them. But it's Russian state media, and there are times I'll criticise it, of course. But I generally like some of the things that they get into. Here's a sinister story brought to you by RT. Check out RT.com for more. And it's about kindergarten children in Germany being monitored by their teachers. Why? Well, they are being monitored for any evidence that their parents are right-wing people. This is beyond sinister. And it is not a joke. The German government has set up NGOs. So it's non-governmental organisations, but with links to the German establishment, that want kindergarten children to be monitored so that we can find out if their parents' politics are on the far right. This is quite startling, this. Have a listen. 1984, we are here, eh? Listen to this.
A guidebook for kindergartens in Germany about how to tackle right-wing sentiment.
So it's a guidebook. So the kindergartens have been given a guidebook to teach them how to tackle right-wing sentiment, eh? Eh?
And to provoke the wrath of parents. They claim it only encourages their children to spy on them. Peter Oliver has more on the story.
It's the season of goodwill to all and spreading some festive cheer, right? I'll spare a thought for those answering the phones and checking emails at one of Germany's anti-racism NGOs.
We received around 450 hate calls in the first 48 hours, threatening things like terrorist attacks. We haven't counted the exact number of emails, but it was around 500.
So, what is this all about? The organisation, with the blessing from the German government, has produced a brochure for kindergarten teachers and parents designed to tackle far-right ideology.
What to do if a child draws swastikas in...
This is outrageous, isn't it? I mean, this is outrageous. A brochure to tackle right-wing ideology. To spy on people through their children. Wow! Listen to some of this.
...stickers in class and says they do this at home. What to do if a teacher is active on the far-right scene?
These are the types of situations and suggestions on how to deal with them addressed in the 60-page guide. Why all the hate against it? Some of the information has rankled, to say the least, with far-right blogs, as well as mainstream conservatives. A scenario is described where a kindergarten had to deal with children of parents involved with the far-right.
The girl wears dresses and braids and the boy faces physical challenges and takes part in drills.
So what advice do you think was given to kindergarten staff?
Wait for this. Kindergarten staff are being told that a girl who wears dresses and who has braids in her hair might be living with a family of right-wingers because she's wearing a dress and braids. This is not a joke now.
Staff have a face-to-face with the parents.
It should be made clear to what extent authoritarian and gender stereotype parenting styles limit the many possibilities of children.
They want to speak to parents and say that gender stereotyping parenting will ultimately limit the possibilities for the student, for your daughter or son. No gender stereotyping. Don't put braids and pigtails in your daughter's hair and send her to school in dresses. Don't give your son superhero costumes. That's right-wing thinking, apparently. If you want your little girl to look like a little girl, that might very well indicate that you are a right-wing nutter.
And complicate their development.
Complicate their development.
Some were rattled by the advice, equating the wearing of dresses and braids with membership of the far right.
I find it unbelievable that a taxpayer-funded brochure identifies girls wearing braids and clothes as potentially nationalist.
Imagine that. You can now be declared as a nationalist if you look like you'd expect any 8 or 9 year old girl to look. I went to a primary school in Ballybeg in Waterford City called St. Saviour's. And a primary school was co-ed, so boys and girls together. I was lucky like that. I went to boys and girls together in primary school and in secondary school. And before we got our uniforms, which came, I think, in first form when we were 6 or 7, before that, I remember the girls going running around wearing dresses. And we had corduroy trousers or... I'm not that old that we had short trousers. We didn't have short trousers. But we just had clothes that you'd expect boys and girls to wear. Now, it could be an indication that you've got Adolf Hitler at home, according to this.
The family minister should have this booklet recalled and revised as soon as possible.
The anti-immigration Alternative for Germany party seized on the backlash, accusing the NGO of promoting secret police methods. The NGO denied the allegation, saying it didn't mean to cast a shadow on how kids are dressed, and also added that the brochure was well received by professionals.
We didn't mean to cast aspersions on how kids are dressed, but the language in the brochure explicitly implies that if you dress your girl like a girl, it could be that there's some right-wing stuff going on, and that might mean that the teacher needs to speak to the parent. Can you imagine the physical damage that I would do if I had a child to a male teacher turning up to your house, knocking on your door? By the way, this isn't about school meetings. The brochure implies that the parent should get a visit from the school. Can you imagine what you would do to the teacher? Who are you? Oh, you're teaching my lad. You're teaching Richie Jr. Come in and have a cup of tea. We're very worried about the clothes that Richie Jr. is wearing. And we don't like that he's got a Spider-Man t-shirt. And we think it's gender stereotyping. And we're a bit worried that he's got a toy hammer because, like Thor from the Marvel comics, you'd knock the guy through your front wall with a dig, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you? You'd be the bad guy then, wouldn't you?
This is based on true cases drawn from long-term counselling work where teachers have asked for help dealing with nationalist families.
Undoubtedly, the organisation behind this brochure and the German Family Ministry have the best of intentions here.
Yeah, they do, yeah.
However, in a country where most people still remember the GDR, asking teachers to look out for certain political motivations could prove problematic.
Problematic. It's fascistic in the extreme. And it's in Germany. It'll be here soon enough as well, if it isn't already here. Madness. Aiken Drum tweets, I've bought my 4-year-old a Thor costume for Christmas. That's probably out now. Yeah. Wow. David tweets, we have been told you are not adequately cross-dressing your child. Please rename Rudolf Helga to avoid detention. Yeah. Yeah, it's all coming down the pipe, isn't it? Huh? Wake up tweets, what monumental bollocks, Richie, East Germany all over again. It is indeed. Dear listener, our time has come to an end this Sunday. Thanks for tuning in, by the way. Thanks for bearing with me in the first 20 minutes. Keep it in mind. Share it with those who are likely to be triggered by it. This programme will be on Podomatic in a few minutes, iTunes, Spotify, and I will be repeating it pretty much overnight as well on the hour. Thanks for listening. Thanks for your company. It really means a lot to me every Sunday. We will speak again tomorrow at 5 p.m. UK time on the regular Richie Allen Show at 5 tomorrow, Monday. In the meantime, look after yourselves and one another. Have a lovely Sunday. All right. Leave you with some John Paul Young. This is great. Love is in the air.